Revelation chapter 20. If you were to ask most ministers, at least I think this would be their answer, if we could choose what to preach on, I like to preach on things, you know, that are encouraging and uplifting and comforting. We like to talk about the love of Jesus and heaven and all those sorts of things. Now, the topic of my sermon this morning is not popular, and it's really not one that I would use if it was just up to me, but, you know, it's just not up to me. Several months ago, I had a young man in my office, and we were discussing some things, and I was offering my opinion about some things, and he didn't like my opinion. And I could tell the longer we talked, he was getting more and more upset. He was getting mad is what he was getting, but I'm going to say upset. And finally, he wouldn't even look at me. He just sort of dropped his head down. He said, "You're just judging. God does not judge people." And I didn't respond to that because it wasn't the time to respond to that. But God is the judge. That is not a popular topic. We like to think of God as sort of the grandfatherly type. Have you noticed this? You know, He's kind and He's loving and He's gentle and He's forgiving and He's very tolerant. No matter what we do or what we say or how we act, He's just going to love us and give us whatever we want. God is loving and God is kind and God is forgiving and God is tolerant, believe it or not. But God is also holy and righteous, and God is our judge. He is the judge. Revelation chapter 20, I'm going to start reading in verse 11 and finish the chapter. "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The judgment is part of God's overall plan. It is part of what He has put into motion when He created the world, when He created man. And so I want to talk a little bit about the judgment this morning. Three things quickly. First of all is the fact of judgment. We just read these verses in Revelation, and they describe what scholars call the great white throne judgment. I'll be honest with you, there's some difference of opinion as to when this will take place and as to who will be involved at the great white throne judgment. But there's no disagreement as to the fact that it will happen. The judgment will happen, and on the great white throne is God Himself. But this, by far, is not the only place in Scripture where the judgment is mentioned. I want to read some of those. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." We always say, you know, we say, "I don't have to do anything except die and pay taxes." Well, that's wrong. You don't have to pay taxes. You can go to jail. But you must die and you must stand before God in judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Romans 14, verses 10 and 12 says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." We don't like it. We don't want to think about it. But it's true. It's a fact. The judgment is coming. A couple of other things that we noticed in these verses that we read, some facts about the judgment. God is the judge. Not not the Congress, not the president, not celebrities, not the rich, not the famous, not the poor, not the beleaguered. God sits on the throne. God is the judge. And we know that God is holy and righteous, and so we know that His judgment will be just and right. We can be comfortable in that. Listen, nobody's going to buy a good verdict when they stand before God. Nobody's going to pull the wool over God's eyes when we stand before God. The other fact that we learn from these verses about judgment is we're all going to do it. No one escapes the judgment of God. You just listen to this. Hopefully, you listen to this for about 15 or 20 minutes on Sunday morning. This is in my mind for days. And I know this is kind of a seat squirmer. But you can doubt the judgment. You can deny the judgment. You can ignore the judgment. You can do whatever you want to about the judgment. But it's going to happen. It's real. It's true. It's a fact. And we're all going to participate in it at some point in our lives. At the end of our life, or at the second coming of Christ, every one of us will stand before God in judgment. The next thing I want to consider is the finality of judgment. Revelation 20:15, the Bible says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, those written in the book of life are those who have accepted Christ as their Savior. Those not written in the book of life are those who have not accepted Christ as their Savior. And those not written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is eternal hell. It is the final eternal abode of those who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God's judgment is final. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus was talking about the judgment. And if you have time, I encourage you to read that this afternoon. I'm just going to read a portion of it. But Jesus mentions the finality of judgment. In verses 31 through 33, these are the words of Jesus. And He said, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations," everybody. "He shall separate them in one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left." That's judgment. God will look at everybody, and He will divide everybody. This may be the final judgment of all people that we're talking about. And He said, on the right hand will be the sheep. On the right hand of the judge will be the sheep. And the sheep, again, are those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. On the left hand will be the goats. That's those who have rejected Christ. That's judgment. Then verse 34 says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand," the sheep, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world," the eternal kingdom of God in heaven. Heaven is the final eternal abode of those who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. Then we come to verse 41. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand," the goats, those who rejected Jesus, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Those who reject Jesus. You see the finality? Eternal, everlasting fire. The eternal abode of those who reject Jesus. If you, for some reason, have to go before a judge in the world today in our court system, whether it's an act of crime or whether it's a lawsuit, whatever it may be, and you appear before the judge, you know, there are a lot of things that can happen. You can get an extension. Lawyers are good at getting extension. We're going to delay judgment. There are extenuating circumstances sometimes to a court trial, and so there's a suspended sentence. Or there's probation instead of jail time. Whatever it might be, there are all the... Listen, in God's final judgment, none of those things are going to happen. No extensions, no suspended sentences, no probation, no community service, no exceptions, no deceit. Final judgment. Just and fair by a holy and pure and righteous God. That brings us to the focus of judgment. What's the criteria upon which we'll be judged? That's what we want to know, right? Okay, if the judgment is real, and it is, the Bible says it is. If God is the judge and God's judgment is final, then I want to know what's the question I'm going to be asked. I can remember, and I've heard people say this. Matter of fact, I heard a guy say this just last night. We were watching some kind of comedy thing. What's that guy's? Ken Davis on television. And I've heard people talk about the judgment. And he was kind of laughing about it. You know, he said, you know, on the video screen will be your life. Everything that you've ever said or done or thought will be displayed for all to see. I've heard preachers say that. Listen, I don't think that's it. I don't think that's the question. I don't think the question is, what have you done? What have you thought? I don't think the question is, how have you lived? I think this is the question: what have you done about Jesus Christ? I think the focus of judgment, of God's judgment, of the judgment, will be Jesus Christ. I was talking with an older gentleman one time, and he had gotten some bad news about his health, and he was facing mortality. And I was talking with him a little bit, and he said, "Well, you know," he said, I think I'm ready to go." And I didn't know for sure what he meant by that. I didn't know if he wasn't physically prepared, or if he wasn't financially prepared, or if he wasn't spiritually prepared. And then he told me, he said, "I think I'm going to go to heaven." And he said, he did what all of us do when we start thinking about heaven. We start listing our qualifications to get to heaven. I'm a good person, you know, or I'm not a bad person, whichever the case may be. I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't steal, I don't associate with people who do those things. I try to help those who are needy, those who are less fortunate than I am. I try to help them every chance that I get. I go to church, at least most of the time. I pay my tithes. I'm involved in social things. I'm a good citizen, active in the community. I don't break the law. I'm a good guy. I think I'm going to go to heaven. And so he listed to me his qualifications, and he said, "Do you think that will be enough? Do you think that will get me to heaven?" You know what the answer is? No. That's kind of discouraging, isn't it? I'm not going to mention who, but over the weekend, you know, a celebrity passed away. And I always get a little bit, I'm not sure what the word is. I think aggravated is the word. When a celebrity passed away, have you noticed that every celebrity that dies goes to heaven? Now listen. I know nothing about the gentleman who died. I know nothing about his personal life at all. He may very well be in heaven. I don't know. But if he is, it's because of Jesus Christ, not because of who he was. When we stand before God in judgment, the issue is Jesus Christ. The problem is sin. And the Bible says we have all sinned. Every single one of us has sinned. And then there will be no sin, and thereby no sinners in heaven. That's the problem. And listen, there's nothing that we can do to pay the price for our sin. There are no amount of good works. There's no amount of church work, social work, civil work. There's no amount of community involvement. There's no level of fame or economic status that we can reach. There's nothing that we can do on our own, by ourselves, to get to heaven. It's impossible. Nothing that we can do to pay the price for our sins. Even in the Old Testament, the people would bring an animal sacrifice to cover their sins, and they had to do that every single year because it was insufficient. That's the problem. The problem is sin, and there's nothing we can do about it. That's discouraging, isn't it? That's why we're afraid of judgment. Listen, you ask somebody sometime, listen, why should God let you into heaven? And they may give you a whole list of reasons. They may give you a whole list of qualifications. But in their mind, you know what they're thinking in their mind? Really, really, he shouldn't. Right? That's what we, as Christians, sometimes we do the same thing. Well, you know, I read my Bible every... I read through my Bible this year. I've read through my Bible the last 3 years or whatever it might be. Boy, I pay my tithes, man. When the pastor needs somebody to mow the lawn, I'm there with my lawnmower. And when the pastor needs this or the church needs that, I'm there and I'm doing, man, I'm, God ought to let me into heaven. But in our minds, we're thinking, no, I'm not, I'm unworthy. The problem is sin. And the problem is, with sin, we can't do anything to pay the price for it. But the focus of the judgment is Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what that means? There is a way to heaven. It's not me. It's not you. It's not good works. It's not money. It's not fame. It's Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is important. Everything that the Bible says is important, but I think this is something that Christians struggle with. So, you're very good always about paying attention. I want you to pay very close attention to what's about to happen, okay? This will help you relax about the judgment. This will help you not fear the judgment if you're a Christian. Now, listen, if you're not a Christian, you better be afraid. You better be very afraid of the judgment. When we confess our sin, when we tell Jesus we're a sinner, whatever words you use, when you confess that you were a sinner and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, He did it. 1 John 1:9, you're familiar with the passage. We've used it a lot. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say it, we can quote it, we know it, but do we believe it? When we confess our sins, God forgives our sins. And that's not all He does. Isaiah 43:25, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Hey, write that verse down. Don't you like that? 1 John 1:9 says God's going to forgive our sins, and Isaiah 43:25 says He's going to forget them. God's going to forgive them, and God's going to forget them. We remember, don't we? Those around us remember, don't they? They remind us sometimes when we get forgetful. Satan remembers our sin, and he always reminds us. That's why sometimes Christians say in their minds, or maybe they say to other people, I wonder if I'm going to get to heaven, because Satan reminds us of our sins. But God said, I will not remember your sins. I like that. I like that. Every sin I have ever committed, and I've committed sin, but I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me, and when He forgave me, every sin I ever committed, He forgot it. There's one more thing. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. God forgives our sins, God forgets our sins, and God removes our sins from us. Listen, Christian, we need to remember that. We need to believe what the Bible says. Now, I'm not saying that from the moment you ask Jesus to forgive you, all your sins are gone and forgotten, because if you commit another sin, listen, you've got to ask Him to forgive you of that sin too. When you understand that you have committed a sin, you can't just keep doing it. You've got to quit it and ask Him to forgive you. But when you ask Him to forgive you, they're forgiven, they're forgotten, they're washed away by the blood of Jesus. We can live joyful, victorious Christian lives. We cannot be concerned about the judgment of God, because we know what God's going to tell us. When He says, what did you do about Jesus Christ? And we say, I asked Him to forgive me my sins. He's going to say, come on home, son. Your sins are forgiven. They've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You know what? They don't even exist. Come on in. That ought to cause us to relax a little bit. That ought to cause us to enjoy our relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, who can do that besides Jesus? I understand the doubt. I am unworthy to go to heaven. I'm just telling you, I'm unworthy. I'll always be unworthy. No matter what I do, I will always be unworthy. You are unworthy, and you will always be unworthy. But Jesus is worthy, and Jesus will always be worthy. Amen. And He is the way to heaven. Every person who is in heaven today, other than the angels now, every human being who's ever walked to the face of the earth, and every one of them that are in heaven today are there because of Jesus Christ. That's the only reason they're there. Moses is there not because he was the great deliverer of Israel. He's there because of Jesus Christ. Abraham is there not because he's the father of the Jewish nation and because not because he was accounted righteous before God by his faith. He's there because of Jesus Christ. You pick the person, whoever, the great men of God. I'm not discounting their works. I'm not discounting their life of service. But they are in heaven because of Jesus Christ and only because of Him. And if you're going to go to heaven, and if I'm going to go to heaven, it's only because of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. We'll have a song of invitation. But just for a minute, I'm going to ask you to be as quiet as you can. Focus now on what we're doing. Pay attention. Before the final judgment, before it's too late, would you answer this question? What have you done about Jesus Christ? Have you confessed your sin to Him and asked Him to forgive you? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you sure that if the next breath was your last breath, you would go to heaven? You can be sure. Your sins can be forgiven. You can know Jesus personally. All you have to do is ask Him to forgive you and believe that He's done it, then serve Him as your Lord and Master. Would you do that this morning? You come while we sing. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. Can I just tell you that I just ask you the most important question you'll ever be asked in your life. What have you done about Jesus? Now, kind of like the judgment, you can deny it, you can doubt it, you can ignore it. But you're going to answer that question one day. And when you answer it, you're going to be standing before the Creator God of the universe. Wouldn't you rather do something about it now? I'm going to tell you, being a Christian is the greatest way to live. There are a multitude of reasons for being a Christian. And one of them is that when I stand before God in judgment, I'll know I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and I'll know I'm going to heaven. Wouldn't you like that assurance this morning? We're going to sing one more verse. I believe God's dealing with people this morning. Father, there are so many things that I'm grateful for, many things, but among those, Lord, is the assurance of heaven. Sometimes, Lord, sometimes there's some doubt. I just admit it. Sometimes there's some doubt. Life gets hard and things get problematic and Satan gets on my back. But I know that you can do all things. And so, Lord, I'm going to ask you this morning for every person in this building, in this room this morning, for every person who is here and who is a Christian, who knows you personally as Savior and Lord, would you touch them somehow, Father, as only you can, with the sweet assurance that heaven is our eternal home. Would you do that, Lord? And then, Father, for those who are here this morning and are unsaved, I don't know the reason that they didn't come. I don't know the excuse that they offered. Maybe they're trying to convince themselves that everything is all right. But it somewhere, Lord, somewhere in their heart, they know. Maybe even at this moment, Lord, they would just say, Father, please forgive me, and they could be saved even at this moment. But if not, would you continue to deal with them, and would you grant mercy, and would you give them another opportunity, Lord, soon to come to know you as Savior. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for coming this morning. I appreciate your attention. Come back tonight at 6. We continue our study of the book of 1 Samuel. Nolan, would you dismiss us, please?